thanks for joining us. This is Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Now, of course, this is still early part of the year. We're looking at some of the risk factors of the year and how Malaysia is going to grow forward. Very recently, I spoke with a few analysts. They argue that while the Malaysian GDP is going to grow, it wouldn't be growing or outpacing the previous quarters. In fact, Lee Hengi of the Socioeconomic Research Centre argued on my show yesterday that the Malaysian GDP is expected to grow at about 4.1%, slower than previous years, but at the same time growing at a stable rate. There are also arguments that the rate hike is going to happen once or twice. At least the Socioeconomic Research Centre is arguing that the rate hike is going to happen twice at 25 bips per time for the year. However, other research houses, like for instance Maybank Investment Group, when they came on my show 2 days ago, the head of regional equities there argued that it's going to grow. They expect the rate hike to happen just one more time at 25 bips. And of course, this is consistent with other consensus views of AHAM Capital as well as RHB Asset Management. Generally speaking, the rate hike cycle is nearing its end rather than its beginning. Yeah, that's the idea of the consensus moving forward. Now, also we're looking at some of the ideas in terms of inflationary pressures and inflation rate going up. Most importantly, cost of living as well. When we talk about inflation pressures, we can't be talking about the inflationary pressures at length or what do you call this, across the board. There are some specific areas where inflation did actually go down. Technology, for instance, inflation went down. Transportation went down. Petrol is stabilizing in terms of inflation rate. But food, that's gone up quite a few multiples. Healthcare, that has gone up 3 digits actually over the past 3 years. So education also up more than 50% year on year. These three items are going to be at the constant forefront of Malaysians, especially folks like me who have to feed my kids, think about their education and put them in hospitals in case they are sick. So that is an area of concern for folks like me. So the continuation factor here is, of course, wages. How will wages be impacted? And how will wages see their way forward in terms of growth, considering the inflation pressures of Malaysia is at 4.1% in terms of headline inflation? But the real inflation rate could be far higher than that. Can our income grow more than 4.1% for this year? That is, of course, a dream that wants to be seen reimagined. So, because of all these factors, we are looking at how Malaysia can move forward for 2023. I've had, as spoken before, the head of socioeconomic research, that is Lee Hengi. Previously, I had Anand Padmakantan. Very shortly, I'm going to be airing my interview with Sementa, or the Association of the Small and Medium-Sized Enterprises President, Dr. William Ng. There, we will talk about not just the inflationary pressures and cost of living items, but we will also be talking at length about the whole notion of what the SME sector is expecting from Budget 2023. This and more coming up after the break. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me on the line Chairman of Sementau, the Chairman of the Small and Medium-Sized Enterprises. This is a conversation that took part early part in the day on Niaga Awani, Datuk William Ng of Sementau. Datuk, let's talk a little bit more about the arrivals of the Chinese travellers. Based on current situation, COVID spikes are increasing, spiking a lot of concerns. And of course, we want to know more if Malaysia and Malaysian businesses is ready for this. Do you think that looking at our trajectory of economic growth, is this a good thing or a bad thing for the country?
Yeah, thank you very much. I know there's a lot of debate out there on whether it is wise to allow the Chinese visitors to come in. In my mind, I think we need to have an open mind and allow the decision to be made based on science rather than our own fear or bias. I'm quite sure the Ministry of Health and the Cabinet will make the right decision. Of course, after taking into consideration the views of the best interests of the country. Strictly from a trade perspective, China reopening is definitely good for the economy. If you look at the past 1 year, our challenges are mainly the rising cost of raw materials, as well as a severe shortage of manpower. I think with China's border reopening, this will relieve some of the shortage of supplies and logistics, which I think in turn will help to stabilize the prices that we are seeing soaring over the past 1 year. Of course, the tourism industry will prosper. China, if I'm not mistaken and have my numbers right, was our third largest source of visitors prior to the pandemic, or about 11% of all our visitors. But overall, since the question is whether the reopening will help our economy, the answer is definitely yes.
And of course, the Ministry of Health is expecting the numbers of COVID-19 to spike during the festive season. CNY is coming up. And of course, this also adds on to the reality or possibility of businesses being impacted. What do you think is being prepared by SMEs or Sementara right now, considering that this could be a risk that is very much real and soon to happen?
You are right. I think our SMEs have not forgotten the very difficult, very painful period that all of us went through in 2020 and 2021. But I think by and large, we are better prepared now than we were back in 2020 when we had our first lockdown. Our healthcare system, for example, has learned how to handle rapid spike in infection. Our workers have learned how to work from home. I think even companies, including SMEs, are more digitalized now than we were in 2020. In fact, our latest survey indicated 2 out of 3 retailers are now able to sell online compared to just 1 out of 3 prior to 2020. So I'm quite sure that while we must continue to be careful, we are also in a better position today to handle any future variants of COVID-19 compared to previously. I think the main thing here is there's still a lack of confidence, not just among consumers, but also among business owners. So if you want to rebuild that, we can only do so by learning to live with all these possibilities.
Of course, studies have shown around 77% of Malaysian SMEs remain to be in the basic level of digitization stage. Many SMEs are still ill-equipped to make the transition towards digitalization. And seeing that we're coming out of COVID-19, why do you think that the situation right now is still as such, where SMEs are still ill-equipped to deal with digitization, Dato?
I think everybody knows that the way forward for Malaysia, for our economy and for SMEs is to digitalize. I think there's no ifs and buts about that. You are right that many SMEs are not digitalizing optimally. One of the things you have been quite successful at is to get businesses to adopt internet banking, and then of course to accept e-payment. And those are driven by convenience and low cost of adoption. It costs these SMEs almost nothing to accept e-payment, for example. And you see the immediate benefits in terms of convenience and in terms of better records. So our challenge is, how do we get our SMEs to believe that when you invest in digitalization, and some can be quite substantial for the small business, that this SME will be able to see immediate and certain benefits. So unfortunately, I think this will take time, as you will need the early adopters to digitalize first, show some results in their business so that the rest of the industry can then follow. That is why I think we've been calling for better fiscal support in terms of double deduction for any SMEs who invest in digitalization. A lot of people are talking about grants for digitalization and so on. But in our view, you don't need to have all these grants, because then you end up pushing SMEs to digitalize when they're not ready. Give us instead double deduction, so those who are more ready, the early adopters, can do it first, and then the rest can watch and learn. So in the meantime, I think we need to continue ramping up our awareness campaign. For example, at Samantha, we have been partnering with MPC, the Malaysia Productivity Corporation, on a year-long program to educate, to measure, and then provide hand-holding for SMEs to digitalize. I think we are already at an inflection point, and you should see some rapid adoption this year and next year, provided the government gives the right push for SMEs to digitalize.
One of the bigger concerns right now, Dato, is of course cost of living, and not just about the consumers, it's also about SMEs. Input cost for SMEs in manufacturing and production and services are increasing. However, it's very hard for SMEs to raise the price tag of their items at the end consumer stage. Do you feel that this whole compression of margin is going to be impacting the mood and the idea of how SMEs are going to move forward for this year? How do you think SMEs are going to grow their margins while not hurting themselves in that process?
I think this compression of margin is not something that is new today. It's already been happening.
And this is primarily because of the heavy use of manual labor, for example, and a lack of automation and digitalization. And of course, then it is compounded by the fact that
today we have a severe disruption in logistics, severe disruption in supply chain. So it is our hope that with the reopening of China borders, as well as the resolution of some of this pent-up demand that you see during the pandemic years, that the input costs will normalize, and we hope then therefore the margin will improve naturally along with that. Of course, SMEs definitely must continue to automate and digitalize if you want this margin to be sustainable in the long run.
Do you feel that tourism is going to be a good business, not just for the businesses within the sector, but of course surrounding it as well? I'm not just talking about hotels and hospitality and perhaps, you know, places like a scuba diving shop, something like that. But, you know, we're talking about food and beverage. We're talking about sectors that surround these kind of industries. Do you feel that that could be seeing a highlight of the day, I suppose, moving forward for this year, considering that Chinese tourists and many others are coming in to Malaysia?
We are hopeful for a rebound, obviously. I think the past 2 years, we're already seeing quite substantial resurgence of domestic tourism. So we are hopeful with the reopening of China, as well as more confidence among travellers, not just from China, but across the region, from India, from Singapore, from Thailand, from Indonesia, the tourism industry will come back. And along with it, as you have mentioned, all the associated industries, be it F&B, retail, car rental, etc., will also come back and support the growth of our economy.
Dr. William, one more area of concern, of course, is the whole notion of businesses anticipating new taxes. GST could possibly see the re-emergence, maybe not this year, but in the years to come. How do you think businesses are going to approach ideas like GST moving forward?
Yeah, I think, as you know, GST is a very sensitive topic. On its own, it is actually a very clear and straightforward tax that allow multiple benefits to businesses. But unfortunately, of course, over the years, it has been politicized by multiple parties to the point that GST has been demonized as the reason for a cost spiking. From a strictly business perspective, GST is obviously a fairer, better tax regime. It allows tax to be claimed and rebated by businesses, among others. So as SMEs, I think we are all for the return of GST. But of course, there are several issues that we would like to be resolved prior to the return of the GST. One of which is a fixed timeline of the refund to businesses. In the past, if you recall, the refund can take up to 3 months, 6 months in some times. And this creates a lot of cost pressure to SMEs because they are unable to claim back the refunds in time to support their businesses. So in order for us to reintroduce GST, we definitely have to have a better SOP, a better way to implement it so that it does not affect the businesses and in turn it does not affect the consumers in terms of raise costs as well.
Okay, we'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll continue to talk with Sementara Chairman. Of course, the big question up next is on their wish list of Budget 2023. That's happening after this. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me the chairman of the SME Association of Sementara, Dato' William Ng. This is a conversation that took place with me and him in the early part of the day on Niaga Awani. Take a look. All right, the next three things are going to be quite critical. We'll start off with Budget 2023, so expected to be tabled on February 24th. What would be some of the ideas that Sementara has when it comes to Budget 2023 retabling?
Yeah, there are several things that we will have called the government to do. We must understand that while the economy has picked up, the economy has not picked up equally among the SMEs. In 2021, for example, we have said that the economy, the GDP has grown by 3.4%. But if you look at the SMEs, it has only grown by 1%. So SMEs lag behind larger companies in general when it comes to recovery. So we cannot just look at the data and say, oh, the economy has recovered. It has recovered unfairly. It has recovered much better for larger companies. SMEs have to catch up. So this means that the government must do more to support SMEs. And one of the key concerns really is the fear and the concern of SMEs to reinvest into digitalization and automation. Because of the uncertainty of the politics that is continuing, because of the uncertainty in the economy. And because of that, we are calling for two things. One is for reduction of income tax and cap it, let's say, 15 or 20% for the first 1 million of profit for SMEs, so that this money can then be reinvested into growing the businesses for SMEs. And secondly, of course, we have called for a double deduction of any investment in digitalization and automation over the next 4 to 5 years, so that businesses who are ready to digitalize and automate can do so and be encouraged to do so through this budgetary measure. So these are among some of the things that we have asked the Ministry of Finance to consider in the retabling of the budget 2023.
Another issue, of course, is wages. Do you feel that SMEs need to improve on this front, Dato?
I think it's a general misconception that all SMEs are underpaying employees. That is not true. Of course, there are some smaller businesses that pay relatively lower, but so are larger companies who run plantations, construction sector, for example, that are also paying quite low in the past. So because of this misinterpretation or misunderstanding, a lot of people assume that SMEs are underpaying. The reality is that we now have a huge shortage of labor, a huge shortage of manpower. Many SMEs are more than happy to pay above the 1,005 minimum wages. The problem is that we just cannot get enough workers. So the issue here is not so much about the minimum wages or that we're underpaying. The issue is the ability of skilled manpower. So that's number one. Number two is that, again, a lot of people are saying, you know, why are you not paying above 1,005? That's only humane and it's only normal. What they don't see is this. When you force a increase in minimum wage, you are forcing an increase not just in terms of the lowest tier of workers. You're forcing an increase in the overall company. Because even the higher tier employees will not ask for an increment. They say, look, you know, I'm a supervisor. If the production worker is getting 1,005, I should be getting another 30% more at least than the production workers, for example. So this forces the SMEs to increase the price at the time they are trying to recover. So we are not against the idea of increased minimum wages. We are against the idea of the quantum, the sudden quantum of that is being forced upon the SMEs, and also the timing of it at a time when they're trying to recover from the pandemic of COVID-19.
So that is the conversation that took place early part in the morning. I want to make sure that you get the best news and the kind of most updated conversations that we can offer. Do check out Astro Awani's platform, either on Niaga Awani or on my show right now, Notepad. There are plenty of interviews like this that can be found there, especially the kind of resources that you need in order for you to form or frame your mind and opinion moving forward for the year. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.